And we're going to continue on here with chapter 6 today. I'd just like to start in prayer, and then we'll jump in and start looking at this together. Lord, I want to thank you just for time to come together as your followers and to look at this Pilgrim's Progress together. Help us, Lord, just to have minds that are filled with your thoughts this morning. Help us to take away some truth that can be challenging and encouraging for us in our walk as we seek and desire to know you more. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 6 is called A Faith Beyond Words. And if you had a chance to read it today, the main person that we're going to talk about, his name is Talkative. It's a little different, I think, than some of the other chapters. There's no pictures in here. I don't know, as you read that, you probably saw that. There's no kind of mental word pictures either, where we're seeing Christian. For example, we don't have a picture of a gate or a cross or something like that. This whole chapter is dialogue. So in order to kind of break it down a little bit, I've divided it up into four sections. So those sections, you won't see them in your book. I kind of made them up. But just kind of breaking the dialogue down so we can take it piece by piece, I thought would be helpful. So the four sections, section one is faithful and talkative meet each other and start to have a conversation. And section two, a faithful kind of steps back over and talks with Christian about talkative. In section three, faithful goes back to talkative and kind of has this more heart-to-heart discussion where he's kind of probing with questions. That's kind of the meat of the chapter, the main part of what we're going to look at. And then section four, faithful goes back to Christian and they kind of debrief, how did the talk go with talkative? Okay, so those are the four sections we're going to look at. We'll start just right away in section one, and as always, Jeremy's going to be roaming around. If you have comments or questions, I would invite that. We can be learning together today. But section one, if you remember from last week, Christian and Faithful met. Seth walked us through that. And as they're walking together, all of a sudden they look over and they see another person. And they don't know his name right in the beginning. And Faithful begins to just chat with him. And I think it's interesting to note, and this is kind of a snapshot of the entire chapter. It says right here that as they looked over and saw Talkative, he looked more handsome at a distance than he did up close. So I think if you think about life, you maybe can picture something that has happened, a situation like this where you've experienced that. For example, maybe you're driving down the road and you see a car for sale. And as you're cruising by, it looks pretty good. And you think, hey, if you're interested in buying a car, maybe you swing around and go back. But as you get out of your car and walk up to it, you notice the dings and the dents and the rust and the scratches, and you think, now I see why it's for sale. Or maybe you glance at a coupon, something online. It looks great. What a deal! But as you read the fine print, you realize, okay, this is a little different than what I thought at a first glance. So as you think about Talkative in this chapter, as they first see him, they think, he's tall, he's handsome, he looks good. But as they kind of get closer to him, it's not quite what it seemed at the beginning. So we're not talking about physical things here. We're talking about his faith and his walk with God. So at a glance, right away, it seems like, wow. But as they dialogue with him, they discover that he's slightly different than what they first thought. So the conversation kicks off. If you're able to read it, I think on page 112 is where Faithful and Talkative kind of have their initial back and forth. And if you read through it, there's a whole list of topics that come up. And really, it's Talkative who's talking about all these things. And he says that, it says that the conversation they're going to have is about excellent, profitable things that are full of conviction. And I think it's true, right? If you read through, just glance at page 112, what are some of the things that Talkative mentions in the first minute of their conversation? He says here, to be specific about things that might be profitable to talk about, we're talking about the necessity of new birth, the insufficiency of our works, the needs of Christ's righteousness. We can, by talking, learn what it is to repent, to believe, to pray, to suffer. We can, by talking, learn of the great promises and consolations of the gospel and be comforted by those promises. Furthermore, by talking, we can learn to refute false opinions, defend the truth, and instruct the ignorant. So there's this whole list of things that's pretty amazing, right? So I just try to take this a little bit into my own experience and imagine meeting someone for the first time. What's your name? My name's Ryan. And in the first minute, that other person is saying all of these things. Like in the first 5 minutes, what would be your response to someone who's talking about these things? And I really think that Faithful's response to it is exactly what I would have done. He's kind of amazed. He's marveling. He's like, wow, who is this guy? And he actually suggests to Christian, we'll get into this in a second, but he steps back over to Christian and he's saying, this guy is going to make an excellent pilgrim. This guy is amazing. So we kind of get this sense that Talkative has all of these great things to say. At the same time, on page 113, we have the beginning of kind of something that makes you feel a little strange. On page 113, Talkative says, I like to talk of things heavenly or earthly, moral or evangelical, sacred or profane, past or future, domestic or foreign, important or inconsequential, as long as the conversation is done for our benefit. So when you hear about that, you start to think, okay, he likes to talk about not only this amazing stuff, but he also likes to talk about anything and everything, as long as it's done for our benefit. So I've put a couple of questions here on the notes, and I think, just throw these out, we're not going to necessarily answer them right now, because we're going to answer them in section two, but some of the questions that come to mind is, who is Talkative? Is he good or bad? Is he a Christian or not? What does he represent in our walk of faith? When we start to see how he talks and how he interacts with faithful, what is it? What's the situation, or who is this person that we're supposed to be learning about? So Faithful is amazed, as I said. He's marveling. He calls him brave and an excellent pilgrim, as I mentioned. As soon as that happens, he kind of steps back over to Christian. And Christian totally changes the feeling of the conversation. And he says a few things here. He says, I know him. I know who Talkative is. He's from our town. I can't believe that you don't also know him. His father's name is Mr. Saywell, and he lives on Pratting Row. So to Pratt, maybe all of you know what that means. I kind of didn't really know. I looked it up. It says in the dictionary, it's to talk foolishly, tediously, long, or idly about something. So that's where he lives. That's where Talkative lives, is kind of in this talking place, to talk tediously or long or foolishly about things. Faithful, as I mentioned, was marveling. And I have a little typo here in the notes. I put dubbed. What I meant to say is Faithful is duped. Okay? So he's kind of like tricked. He's mystified. And actually, as Christian talks about Talkative, and he's saying he's not a respectable person. He's miserable. That's what it says on 113. He's got a fine tongue, but beyond that, his life is miserable. And Faithful cannot believe it. He says, you're jesting, right? You're tricking, right? You're joking with me, right? Because this guy seems pretty amazing. And Christian says, I'm not joking. I'm smiling, it says. I like that. I did smile, but I'm not joking. This person, Talkative, is actually not who you think he is. Another quote, page 114, says, religion, and this is Christian talking about Talkative, religion has no place in his heart, his home, or his conversation. He is all talk, and his religion is to make noise with his mouth. Okay, so I think religion, the way he uses religion here is interesting. I think often we talk about religion we kind of use that as a negative thing, like we don't have religion, right? We have a relationship with Christ. But I think that's what he means here. He has no relationship with Christ that is showing itself in his heart, his home, or his conversation. Which is interesting because you heard what he talked about, right? Page 112, all those different topics that he was mentioning. How is it that there's no religion in his heart, home, or conversation? Note one, and I think this is an answer to the question of who is talkative, who are we talking about? Note one in the back of this book that most of us have says, talkative represents the man or woman who delights in talking about divine things, but has only a theoretical knowledge of such things. No actual heart experience correlates to the matters they love to discuss so eloquently. So there it is. I think who is talkative? He's someone who delights in talking about the things of God, but there's no experience in that person's heart of actually knowing what they mean. No experience of understanding these great things that they're talking about. Okay, so there's a brief synopsis of where we're headed, kind of who is talkative, where's the conversation went up to this point. What I'd like to suggest is on page 114, or if you don't have this book we're all using, you're going to have to find this spot. But I'd like you to just take a minute to yourself and read these couple of paragraphs on the two-thirds bottom part of 114. And as you read that to yourself, just kind of think about a few of the words or the things that are used to describe talkative. Okay? Yes? Let's see. So it's right. Christian is explaining who he knows talkative and who he is, and then a bit just past that, he starts to say that. I don't know how to describe where it is to you. He starts to explain some things about this. This is who talkative really is, and here's some things that I see in his life. Is that helpful enough? Hopefully you've had enough time there. Anything that is jumping out to you? How does Christian describe talkative's real life? Set aside what he's been saying. And now what is Christian, what does he use to explain the real talkative? Anything you notice? There's a whole bunch of things here, 8, 10, 12 things that we could say. Anything stand out to anyone?
He's contrasting his words with his behavior.
Okay. Contrasting his words with his behavior, and they don't line up, right? Okay, good. Anything else?
No prayer or sign of repentance in his home.
No prayer or sign of repentance in his home.
Yeah, with those who are around him, no most
intimate. Mm-hmm. With those who are closest to him, there's none of the things that he's talking about, prayer and repentance. Good. Other things? Mm-hmm. Hypocritical, says one thing, but lives in a different way. Good.
He's a cheat.
He's
a cheat and a liar.
Yeah, a cheat and a liar. There's this section here that those who know him, what does it say? He far surpasses the worst criminal in his ability to beguile or defraud. Yeah, so those who know him well don't want to deal with him in financial matters. Yeah. Other things?
Deals harshly with people.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Causes many to stumble.
Causes others to stumble, yeah.
He's passing that on to his next generation.
Yeah. He's bringing up his sons to follow in his footsteps. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Those are all great. So we're starting to get this picture, right, of a two-sided person, someone who can talk very eloquently about all the things that true Christians really care about and believe, and yet for those who know him best, it appears like none of those things are actually living themselves out in his home, in his conversation, in his heart. So there's this two-faced person. I'd like to just read out a few of the scripture verses, and these are just directly from the bottom of the page in this book, I'd like to ask a couple of you, there's three scriptures here, three different people may be willing to read out, and I'll have Jeremy come around and do the mic. Matthew 23, and actually I'm going to add a verse here, verses 2 and 3. Someone willing to do that? Seth? And then James 1, 22 through 27. Anybody else up for that one? James and Dan, can you do 1 Corinthians 4:20?
Matthew 23, 2 and 3?
Yeah.
The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so practice and observe what they tell you, but not what they do, for they preach, but do not practice.
Hmm. When I read that verse, I thought it was so interesting. And if you take that verse into this, do what they say, but don't do what they do. That's pretty great, right? Like, if you do what talkative is talking about, your life would be pretty great in your walk with God. But if you do what he does, we're going to get into trouble really quickly. So that verse was fit great. I mean, that's why it's in here, right? It fits great with what we're talking about. James, next.
James 1, 22 through 27. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world.
There's a lot of things in those verses, right? It's quite a little bit of a longer passage, but you heard a lot of similarities to what we're talking about. I think the main thing from those verses is a saying and doing are two different things, right? So to say that you believe or to actually live out the things you believe are different. They're not one and the same thing. Dan.
1 Corinthians 4:20. I'm going to read 19 also.
Yeah, good.
But I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of them that are puffed up, but the power. And then verse 20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power.
And that's going to kind of transition us into this next section, that word power there. So we can do that in a second. I'd just like to pause. I haven't given you any chance to ask questions or say things. I don't want to move too quickly. Anything that someone is thinking up to this point, or anything that you noticed in the chapter that I kind of breezed right over, otherwise we're going to slowly transition into section 3, into the kind of the more intense dialogue. Anything that I'm missing here, or questions or comments that anyone has? Good. Well, raise your hand if you have one. Otherwise, we're going to move right on. 1 Corinthians 4:20, as Dan just read, for the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. So I think that word power is one that we have to describe. We can use that in various ways. If you look at the section 3, the little description that I wrote after that, this is kind of what I think is the crux of this chapter, is a discussion about power. That's upcoming. Faithful is going to talk with Talkative about power. Okay, but what are we talking about when we say power? This is what I thought kind of best encapsulated that. A power in this, I think in 1 Corinthians 4:20 and in this chapter, might mean something like, it's the grace of God evidenced in our lives by change that only God could bring. So there's a power there. There's something happening, but it's a gift from God that allows change to happen in our life. So it's not just talking about something. It's a grace of God that leads to change in our actual life and how we think, what we love, how we talk, and how we interact with others. So as we have this kind of up to this point, the different conversations happening, Faithful is about ready to step back over and talk with Talkative again. But how should he interact with him? What do you think would be a helpful way to approach this person who's two-faced, all talk, but in life there's nothing happening? What would be a great way to approach it? Christian actually kind of gives him some direction and says, talk with him about this, the power of the grace of God in his life, and that will kind of reveal the true Talkative. There's a couple of questions here. I've put the two main questions on your note sheet. The first question, Faithful steps back over to Talkative and he says, let's talk about this. How does the saving grace of God make itself known when it's in the heart of a man? So that's the question. Talkative instantly has an answer, of course. He says, it's revealed, if the grace of God is in the heart of a man, it's revealed or shows itself by having a great outcry against sin. Okay, so on a first glance, that seems great, right? Of course we want to have outcry against sin. Faithful says, no, that's not true. Why is that not true? It's not true, Faithful says, because a person can cry out against sin in principle, but not actually have that hate for sin in a person's heart, in his or her heart. So the way that the grace of God shows itself as true is if a person hates sin. Okay? So if we're just talking about sin as bad and outcrying against it, that may or may not prove that we actually have the grace of God in our heart. The real proof would be that we hate that sin that is in us, and we're trying not to do it. We do these things we wish that we wouldn't, but that's the proof, is that we actually hate it with our heart. Talkative says there's another thing that can prove that we have the grace of God in our heart. And he says, on page 118 I'm at now in this book, it shows that we have the grace of God in our heart if we have great knowledge of the gospel mysteries. And again, knowledge of the gospel mysteries is a good thing, right? But Faithful says, this also is false. That's not a proof that you have the grace of God in your heart. Why not? Because someone can gain great knowledge about anything in the world, right? And the gospel is no different. Someone can study and read the Bible and have a lot of knowledge, but not actually have the grace of God in their heart. A true Christian will not be content until his knowledge results in sincere works that please God. So there's we need not only knowledge, but we need action that follows that knowledge. Okay? So as Talkative says, it will show itself by having great knowledge of gospel mysteries. Faithful is saying, that part is true, but you need a secondary thing, which is change in your life because of that information that you learned. Faithful goes on and says, what else? So actually, these two things came from Talkative's mouth, okay? Talkative now gives up, and he says, I'm not going to throw out any more ideas, because I can see that we're not going to agree. So Faithful says, let me say another one then. And Faithful says, a third way that we can know that the grace of God is actually in our hearts is, a work of grace in the soul makes itself known either to that person or to onlookers. So the actual person, we ourselves will know it, we'll feel it in our heart, but the people around us will also be able to see it. Okay? So for the one who has it, how will we feel? It says here, page 119, the sorrow and shame for sin combined with a Savior being revealed to him equals a realization of the absolute necessity of clinging to that Savior for life. So in our heart, that's what we feel. We feel sorrow and shame for sin, but we also see that there's a Savior, and we cling to him because we feel like there's no other way. So that's the proof that real grace is in our heart. To the onlooker, to someone who doesn't know me but sees me, it shows itself in two ways. It's one, that I'm confessing that I have faith in Christ. They see that, they hear that. The second thing is, my life is answerable to that confession. So that's what others will see. Okay? So that's question one. It's kind of a little deep, right? I don't want to just cruise through this and leave people confused. Questions or comments about this? I think this is really great stuff. This is what Faithful is doing. This is how he's interacting with talkative to kind of get to the heart of, do you really have the grace of God in your heart or not? Okay, comments, questions? Yeah.
I am just struck by the willingness, I guess. I'm just thinking through even Faithful's willingness to speak and ask those questions in today's culture and in my own life. If you're not sure about someone and there is maybe some pause of thinking, well, is this person really born again or are they just talking? It's very difficult to get to that place of, okay, be willing to go and talk to them in a way that will help them think through with good questions. And they may reject you. They may say all kinds of things that are hurtful to you. But that's where I just want to just make a comment on that because, yeah, that's just something I want to learn and do better at.
It takes some courage, doesn't it, to not only kind of sit back and say, I wonder about that person where they're at, but to actually go and interact in a dialogue of quite probing questions and knowing, yeah, what questions to ask and how to respond. Because actually, talkative's answers, when you first hear them, you think, yes. But actually, Faithful comes back and says, no. So it's not a simple thing that's going on there. So, yeah, good.
I was just going to say, appropriate place to say that when I was saved, I felt like I had this, the way I described it was sort of an infusion of wisdom. It's like all of a sudden I understood what my whole life and everything had been trying to tell me, but I had an awareness that I didn't have the knowledge to back it up. And so I prayed about that, and then the perspectives class on Perspectives on World Missions class came up, and I took that, and it was this like rapid infusion of biblical, strategic, historic, and cultural perspectives on world missions, which basically is the whole Bible in an overview in 13 weeks or something. It's an amazing infusion of the knowledge piece that I'd missing that attached to the wisdom piece and gave me that balanced picture. So it sounds like this guy's got knowledge, but he doesn't have the wisdom.
I think that's it. That's the key right there. He's got the knowledge, but he's not walking it out in his life. So, good. I think, Seth, did you have your hand up or someone over here? Okay. Anybody else? Any other comments? Questions? Otherwise, we're going to move to question number two. So that was the first question. Faithful goes to talkative, and he throws out that first question, which was, how does the saving grace of God make itself known when it's in the heart of a man? The second question that Faithful suggests that they dialogue about is this: have you experienced what I have described? Do your life and conduct testify to prove it? Or does your religion consist of words only, without deeds to attest to the truth of them? So there's three questions there, but really it's a second question saying, here we have these, we talked about the grace of God in your heart. Have you experienced that or not? Talkative refuses to answer this question. He says, why are you asking me such questions? He begins to blush. It says, I think that's page 120 maybe on the bottom. And then on page 121, Talkative dismisses Faithful by saying, since you are ready to listen to the... Actually, Faithful kind of says, I know who you are. Let me tell you why I'm asking all these questions. I'm trying to figure out if you're only all talk or if you have a real walk with Christ. And on page 121, the Talkative dismisses Faithful after hearing that and says, since you are ready to listen to the reports of others and to make rash judgments, I conclude that you are a spiteful or melancholy man and not a fit partner for discussion. So, at that, Talkative walks away. He dismisses himself and leaves. So, Christian and Faithful debrief. And this is kind of the end of the chapter here already. But they kind of get together. Talkative is already out of the picture. And Christian and Faithful come back together. And they basically are encouraging each other. It's kind of back to your comment. They're saying, you know, that was good. They're saying, I think it's great that we were able to talk with him in such a pointed way. Maybe he will think about what I've told him and change. Christian says this, and I have this quote, I think, in your notes. This is not a very common thing, Christian is saying, and because there's a lack of it, a lack of plain speaking, it makes religion stink in the nostrils of many. When fellows like Talkative are admitted into the fellowship of the godly, the world is puzzled, Christianity is disgraced, and sincere pilgrims are grieved. So that's kind of the synopsis. The ending is they're saying, hey, we did well to kind of press him on these points, and in the end, he was unwilling to interact with us about them, and he dismissed himself. But hopefully, he will take some of those things that we talked with him about, he'll consider them, and come to know the Lord. I think it is on page 116, maybe not, I don't know, I shouldn't say that. Somewhere in here, I think we can know that Talkative is not a true Christian. It says that he won't be, anyone know where that is? He won't be with the saints in the kingdom of God or something like that. So I think the synopsis is he's not one who has the grace of God in his heart. He doesn't truly know. And he's able to talk about these things in a very informed and eloquent way, but they have no bearing or traction in his life. Yes?
116 chapter, or verse, yeah, chapter 3 or chapter
4. Paragraph? Yeah.
Yeah,
consequently, these are men who will never dwell. It's talking about men like Talkative. These are men who will never dwell in the kingdom of heaven among those who are the children of life. So I think it's great now to just take some time, all of us together, and I mean, we can have comments or questions about the chapter, but to also say, what does this mean for us now? Moving forward this week, into the future, forever. What are the lessons that we have? And I think we can think about it in two ways. One is, what's the lessons for us? And a secondary lesson I think we could learn is, what's the lesson as we interact with others who might seem that they're like Talkative? So let's just think together. What is the lessons or number of lessons? I think there's many, many, many that we could pull out that would be for us. How can we be challenged or encouraged in the way that we are talking, or be challenged to change the way that we talk as we look at this chapter about Talkative? Any thoughts or suggestions, ideas that have popped into your mind either as you read this chapter or during our discussion here this morning?
Just real quick, the mic isn't working real good on the volume, but it is recording, so that's fine.
Yeah, at the bottom of page 115, where they're, I just kind of want to read this for a second. By hearing, God's word is indeed sown into our hearts, but talking alone in response to that word is not enough to prove that the seed is bearing fruit in our lives.
Yeah.
Let us be very certain that at the day of doom, men will be judged according to their fruits. No one will be asked, "Did you believe?" But instead, were you doers or only talkers? And I just thought, that's so contrary to what our culture wants to say, what our cultural Christianity wants to say. The main question is always, do you believe? Do you believe? But really, the real true question ought to be, does your life produce fruit with what you claim to believe? Does it impact you? Does it change the way you think about things and respond to situations? And the way you live your life, does it reflect what you say you believe in? And directly applicable for us, you know, when we hear a command in the Word of God, we're not going to be judged based on whether we believe that command, but we're going to be judged based on whether we act in accordance with that command.
That's good, yeah.
Jesus said, he who hears these words of mine and acts upon them will be counted as a wise man. And so I wanted to draw that out.
That's great. That's a good synopsis, I think, of the whole chapter right there. Yeah, it's good. Any other thoughts that were kind of coming to any of you as we talked about this? Yes, Pastor Jim.
If I can just make an adjustment to that, we need to be careful. And I'm not saying Seth did this. He did not. But I also know that in our minds, we sometimes pit one thing against another that should not be. And this is not a matter of pitting faith against doing. It's a matter of doing shows that we truly believe. In other words, they are hand in glove. If we are not doing, we didn't believe.
Yeah,
is the essence of it. So that, just a clarification.
Yeah, good. I'll just tickle your minds a little bit. I mean, I probably spent a lot more time on this chapter than all of you, just trying to prepare well. I have questions coming out at the end. I mean, I think one question that's great to think about is it bad to be talkative? I don't mean be this person. I mean, is it bad to talk a lot? Is that what this chapter is saying? Or is that part of what we can learn from this?
Talking more than I'm putting into practice. Like, am I just saying what I really firmly believe, but then as if it's something I'm actually able to accomplish right now in my life? Or,
yeah.
I don't know, there's just a warning there for me where I don't want to be, I want to be a doer, but I don't want to also do it in my own strength. So there's that in when you're thinking, okay, Lord, you can work this in me, but I also want to do. You have given me all power to do this, and but not just just to talk about it. So I don't know if that makes sense. But.
Yeah. No, it does. Actually, it kind of leaks into a second question I have. I actually think it's not bad, wrong to be talkative, necessarily. I don't think that's what this is saying. I think people who are talkative, it's the way God created you. Some of us are more quiet. That's the way God created us. This is not saying all of us should be quiet and not talk. That's not what this is talking about. It's more, do we just talk about our faith, or does it actually have traction in our life? That's what the question is here. Your kind of answer, though, leaked into a second question I have, which is, we see talkative as someone who has great knowledge but doesn't live it out. So let's say, for example, we have knowledge of a biblical truth or a command. Can we talk about it if we know that it's not actually active in our life? Does that question make sense? Or do we think about it but not say it because we know we're not living it? Any thoughts? Yeah.
I think it can lead to what Christian says here, where he ends up talking about Christianity being disgraced and sincere pilgrims being grieved. Mm-hmm. You know, we've all had that person you look up to, some great preacher or someone, and then it comes out their personal life is just a train wreck, and it can be grieving, I think.
Yeah. I think that's true. I don't know if I have the answer to my probing question, but I think that's a great insight. It can, if we're not careful, it can lead to the things that we talked about here, the quote that just Chris just said. I do think, though, that there is a place for talking together about the truths of God and learning and trying to implement them by God's grace and through the power of the Holy Spirit. But where we can run into trouble is, and I think we have to remember the two faces of talkative. One face is talking about all this truth and knowledge, but the flip side was his life was really a disaster. So it wasn't like he was, by God's grace, trying to implement it. It was totally different. And I think we really need to be careful of that. But there is a place for talking about truth. I think we're doing that now, right? We're talking about the truth of God right here. Do we all live this out perfectly? Well, not me. You have to speak for yourself. So there is a place for that, but I think we need to keep that balance, that tension, and keep this in mind. I saw another hand over here. Yeah.
I think an important aspect of this is also humility. You know, are we talkative? Obviously wasn't open to observation and input. He rejected it. He didn't want to talk anymore. when things were coming back to him. And so how much are we aware of what is happening in our lives, and how open are we to surrounding ourselves with others who, you know, point out those areas that maybe don't quite match? Because we're all blind to certain areas of our lives, and so we need others to come along and point those areas out. Are we willing to hear them and admit? And if we're really trusting the gospel, we can admit those areas where they don't match. And then what's our response going forward from there? Is it, yes, you know, that is an area of struggle. I need your help, brother or sister. Would you pray with me? Because I want to put that to death. I want to, by the grace of God, fight those discrepancies between my walk and my talk. Yeah.
It's almost like a third application. There's personally looking in, you know, how are we doing in this? The other one that I mentioned was, how do we interact with someone who's like talkative? A third is, how do we interact with each other about this? That's a great insight. Thank you.
So is talkative, though, is he missing something, or is he being deceptive? I mean, he's hiding who he is, right?
I think it was somewhere in here. I think it said that he doesn't understand. I think he's missing it. I don't think he's trying to be deceptive. I think the grace of God has not come into his heart, and he's unable to see what it is that Faithful is probing to find. He doesn't know that it's not there. I don't know. Someone else maybe has a different answer, but I actually had that. I didn't say it, but I had it in one of my notes here that he doesn't understand. Over here and then back to Doug. Yeah.
I think we can teach on stuff even though we have failed in that area. I mean, how many people in the Bible do we see their life stories before us? David, you know, all of them are used by man of God, and all of us are fallible. But always pointing people to the cross instead of our own life.
Yeah, that's good.
I know when I minister to other people, that's what I've always done, is point them to the cross. I don't want them to be putting me up on a pedestal at all, because I'm going to fall.
Yeah, good. Thank you. And then over here to Doug.
I was looking at page 121 and Talkative's reaction to Faithful, you know, dismissing him that you're ready to listen to reports of others and make rash judgments. From that, I assume I would have understood that he knows that he's not missing something, that he's hiding something.
Yeah, that could be true. Yeah, he knows kind of what his real life is like, and he discovered that Faithful also knows that and parted ways with him. Is that what you mean? Is that what you're saying? Yeah, yeah.
I've also been thinking about the idea about being a witness. That it's a term. I don't know that. Actually, I can't say that where I know where it says witness in the Bible specifically to this, but that Christians are called to be witnesses to God and to the Word and to His work in our lives. And there's something about when you're called to be a witness, you're sworn in. To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. There's a reverence for the judge, and so that somebody that doesn't have a reverence for the judge or doesn't believe in God, trust God, may be trying to witness to God, but it's not the truth. So they're not, he's a false witness. And this, that, you know, let your yes be yes and your no be no. There's all kinds of ways in which we're told to not to lie and to speak the truth, and this man obviously is not capable of doing that.
Yeah.
The other thought I've been having is about judgmentalism.
Yes.
Is about how God is working through this man too, and that he's working in this situation, and that it's revealing things in Faithful, it's revealing things in Christian, it's revealing things all throughout every person that this man touches, and that I think it's important. He's his own worst enemy here, and yet God could save him any minute, and there but for the grace of God go I.
Yes.
And so I think it's really important when we look at this to think about the ways that God is working that are so far beyond our understanding that our own ability to feel grace and to show grace to people who don't get it yet and who are, you know, all talk and no action, I just think that that's really important.
Yeah. It's actually great. One of the things I just noted was that in one of the notes it says we need to be careful to not be judgmental. And I think the note was talking particularly about if we hear someone who's very eloquent about biblical knowledge, to not judge them immediately and jump to conclusions that they're all talk and no walk in their own life, but to just kind of hold back a bit and not only see God at work in the bigger picture, but to just kind of bridle our thoughts, if we can, to not jump into judging people right away based upon how they're talking.
Yeah, and to follow that up, sanctification is a process.
Yes.
I mean, someone could be, I was saved rather old, you know, more recently
right.
than some.
Right.
And so, you know, had an ability to speak about what I was, you know, suddenly flushed with this amazing love and things that I wanted to share, I couldn't necessarily back them up in my life yet, but God was working on me.
Right.
And I think that's where the grace has to come in. And our, you know,
yeah.
We don't really know what's going on in a person's heart.
That's right.
Life doesn't line up, but God might be working on that person for their life to be lining up soon. Or
and I think we can learn that if we see that, we can have a conversation with them. And talk with them about, hey, I hear you talking about really great things. How's that playing out in your life? I think that's the appropriate question in that situation. Yeah.
I think the way I see it anyway, it seems to me that talkative is, he's faking it, and I think he knows he's faking it.
Mm.
You know, it's not like what Eric is saying where, you know, yes, we should be able to, we can be sinful and we can still talk to others and know we have those issues in our life. I think it's another thing to just, he knows, he's looking for the community and the fellowship and to be, you know, it's very easy back then and now and probably always to, you know, you can say these kind of key Christian phrases and now you know you're kind of part of this group and you know though you're faking it, you know, and I think that's the case here. I don't think it's a, you know, he's missing something or but he thinks he's on the right track. I think he knows he's not on the track at all.
Yeah.
And that's the way I see it anyway.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the key difference. And that's why they're able to flush that out and kind of expose him and do it confidently. And if only it were actually that easy.
Right. Good, yeah, good comment. I want to throw out another question here. Early on, I think I read a quote from 113, and it talked about the fact that talkative is able and interested and willing to talk about anything, basically, is what it said. The good, the bad, the foreign, the domestic, there was a whole list, right? As long as it's for our benefit, is the way that it was worded. I think my question for us is it okay to talk about anything and everything with anyone and everyone? Should we only be talking about the things of God all the time? What's the balance there? Let's think about that for a minute.
You will lose
people? What do you mean? Can you say more?
I think you will just lose associations if you're just a one-track person, like, you know, have to be understanding what their needs are and find out where they are at.
Mm-hmm. Good. Any other thoughts? What do we talk about all week long, every week? Are we on track? Are we off track? How do we approach conversation?
Well,
is related to God, but that doesn't mean that everything we say we have to be mentioning God or Christ or that kind of thing. And it's fine to talk about politics or any subject, what's going on in the world, but our position needs to square with the Lord Jesus Christ and how he feels about what is going on.
Yeah.
So in that sense, all of our talk is related to God, even if it isn't mentioned every time we say something.
Yeah, good. That's a good insight. Seth?
Paul wrote in Colossians 4 concerning himself that he was asking the Colossians to continue steadfastly in prayer, to be watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I'm in prison, that I may speak it clear, which is how I ought to speak. So he's asking them to pray for himself, for Paul and those who are with Paul, so that they would have wisdom and clarity of speech and boldness to proclaim the word of God. And then he goes from there to them and he says, you walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. And as he's talking about making the best use of the time, he says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And so that element of when we're interacting with people in the world, like I talk about politics with an atheist at work, right? But like, as I'm talking about politics, I'm seeking to be wise in what I'm saying back to him. I'm looking for every single opportunity I have to point him to the reality of God, the truth of Christ, the how God has made himself known in the Lord Jesus, as well as pointing out the fallacies of his own arguments and stuff. So I'm not saying I walk in there just proclaiming like book, chapter, verse, you know, to him all the time. But as I'm conversing with him, this verse is always in my mind that I'm to walk in wisdom towards him, not seeking to be buddy-buddy with him, but seeking to point him to Christ in whatever way I can. Now, praying to God for that opportunity, for wisdom to make the most of that time, to redeem it, because the days are evil. So that's how I would answer your question, that it's not wrong as long as it's a method or a springboard into the gospel. If Christ is the end of what we're trying to portray to them, even in our words as well as our actions, then we must always have a mind that, like, wherever we're going to talk about in this, whatever we're going to talk about in this conversation, needs, in my mind anyway, I need to be seeking how it can lead to a fuller declaration of Christ and his Lordship.
You have your hand up?
I think we talk about relationship and that it's a relationship with God that we are in, and that building relationships with other people is a way to share the gospel that is effective, opens hearts and opens minds, and sort of a missional strategy piece is to do life with people in a godly way. And I have a Facebook mission ministry, and on there I try to share music and recipes and, you know, just the things of life and humor and joy and all kinds of things that are common to humanity.
Yeah.
And then when I share the gospel, when I share a little snippet of a hymn or whatever, the person that might be inclined to unfriend me and shut me out has 10 other things that I've said that they can relate to, and this one then becomes a seed in that fertile soil that God can work through. So if I'm only throwing seeds at people, they will shut me out and not listen to a thing.
Yeah.
But I find that it helps to fertilize the soil.
Good. We're down to the last minute or two here. Yes, Dave.
Yes, I wanted to just mention about how to present God to people. I used to be a salesperson, and And what I used to do was you would break the ice with people. You get them talking about themselves or something like that, and you make them feel comfortable. Everybody was different. Some people, within 5 minutes, they would be comfortable, and then you could pursue what you were selling. Or maybe a half hour, an hour. And I think my approach is I'll spend when I'm talking to somebody using that idea.
Mm-hmm. I think that goes hand in hand with what Susan was just saying as well. Yeah, it's good. In the last minute, any comments or thoughts about how to approach someone who might appear to be talkative in the flesh in our life? What can we do? How can we approach them for God's glory? Any thoughts? Yeah, Mike.
Colossians 6. I was looking that up. Where is that? It just went away. But Colossians 6 talks about. I was going to read it, but it's gone. Let your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And I think that, in this case, Faithful was kind of bold about asking,
mm-hmm.
or bringing it up, and... I think that we need to address it when we see it, but like Colossians says, it should be full of grace and seasoned with salt for edification of both us and them.
Yeah.
Another place, it was either Ecclesiastes or Ephesians, it talked about not letting or having your words be few. I think that what occurred to me, what came to my mind, was the conversation back in Job, when not just Job's friends, but Job himself said things that were beyond what he should have. And I think that we need to be careful about what we say too.
Good. Well, I'm going to wrap it up there. I don't want to go too much over time. I think another thing just to notice, the last comment, is that Christian and Faithful, we're in this together. So I think it's great. If we're sensing someone, we're not quite sure, go to another brother or sister in Christ and maybe come up with a plan together for how to approach that person in a helpful way. So,
Christian knew him.
So it wasn't that Faithful had all these great ideas himself. He really was helped by Christian to know how to approach the situation. So let's close in prayer. Lord, I want to thank you just for this chapter and just the verses that we looked at today. Lord, may we be people who are filled with the knowledge of great things that are related to you, and by your grace and Holy Spirit, living them out every day. Help us to also know, Father, just how to encourage each other along in that, and to be able to hear from someone else if our life isn't matching what we're saying, and to, through prayer and your strength, really work towards change. We also pray, Father, that you would give us eyes for people in the world who are like talkative. And we just pray, Father, that we would have conversations that are seasoned with salt. And we'd also have boldness just to probe and to ask them and really get to the heart of where they are at in their understanding and their knowledge of you. Just use us in that way and give us minds that have this, help us to think about this throughout the week as we consider what we're talking about, what we're thinking about, and how our life looks in relation to that. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.